Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome to Pop Culture Confidential and this special Emmy nominations episode. So much to talk about after this morning's announcement, and I'm so thrilled to have with me, I know you, Editor-in-Chief of Awards Watch, Eric Anderson. Welcome.
It's a me, Eric.
And for the first time, welcome to my show, Awards Watch TV Editor Tyler Doster. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited.
So lots of expected outcomes this morning. Succession rules. There was a bunch of serial killers, goodbyes of certain shows, but also a bunch of surprises. And we're going to get into that. But first, I want to take just a few minutes with you guys. The Emmy announcement comes in a very tumultuous time. We're in the middle of the WGA writer's strike and bracing for the SAG-AFTRA, that's the actor's strike, which may be coming into effect at midnight. There is talk even that Fox is considering moving the Emmy ceremony from September 18th to November, even January. My God, in the midst of award season, what are we going to do? You may be listening on Thursday, so after we know what happens. So I just want to broadly ask you guys today, what are the ramifications of a potential double strike, writers and actors in general, and how does it pertain to the Emmys? Eric?
Well, I mean, award shows are written. They do have writers. It's one of the reasons why shows that have been aired in the last 70 days of the writer's strike have been rather truncated. Because you can't, you have to either get a waiver from the WGA or kind of wing it. And the Tonys did that and did it extremely successfully. But at the same time, it isn't a precedent that you want to set. I mean, the whole idea that you don't need writers and hey, look at, we did this, isn't really what I'm sure the writers want to see. But I'm sure the executives do, with the reveal yesterday that all they're doing is holding out for the writers to run out of money, lose their housing, and absolutely be at rock bottom. And
that was just evil, that announcement. It was incredible.
It was the kind of evil that we know is really there, but everything is just absolutely, there is no veil. This year on the response to the strikes. And as companies and corporations get larger and larger and try to do more union busting, because this is, you know, far outside of the film and television industry, Amazon, any large multi-billion dollar corporation is only there on the backs of underpaying every single one of its employees and people that work for them. And the industry, film industry and TV industry, is the same. And they will do the most that they can to pay the people as less as they possibly can.
And Tyler, what about in terms of the actors? Is the industry in that sense as freaked out more?
I think so. When you look at the actors, to be really specific, I saw Brandi Evans of P-Valley this week. She posted a video on her Instagram story posting her checks of residuals, and one of them was actually a penny. Mm-hmm. So it just really gives you an insight of what they're going through as well. People think that these actors are highly paid, overprivileged brats who are getting too much money. And in reality, when you're looking at what they're actually receiving in compensation towards what they're putting towards their work, it's just not enough. And seeing checks for 1 cent where the actual mailing, the postage, and that paper was worth more than that is just such a sign of disrespect. That on top of that, and hearing that announcement yesterday, the overt cruelty of it is almost unspeakable to me. So I can definitely understand why they would be considering that. And like Eric said, it's always on the backs of these underpaid workers that mm-hmm. they are mooching off of. So I think it's a really interesting situation, but I can see where it's not only necessary at this point, it's crucial to create these livelihoods and keep them going and keep its industry afloat in a productive, positive way.
Do you think we'll have a SAG-AFTRA strike at midnight today?
100%.
100%?
I do, yeah.
100%.
And in terms of Emmys, that means that they definitely will push it, right? I mean, with 100%. All both their writing.
Yeah. I don't think there is a scenario in which anything is decided on by September. Okay, here's the caveat to that. Because the writers have already been in this for over 70 days. DGA signed a contract. They did theirs. I'm not sure who they're going to direct if they don't have anything to write and no actors though, but good luck with that. It depends on SAG-AFTRA, and 98% of these 160,000 members did vote yes to authorize a strike. So they are ready. I think that they will, but I think the actors hold the writers' futures in their hands. And I think it's sad, but it's pretty obvious, and it was made so obvious this year just how low on the totem pole writers really are, despite the fact that nothing exists without the beginning of that, without the written word. So I think SAG needs to absolutely align itself with writers, with the WGA, and get to an equitable solution that is for both of them. If SAG goes into a contract that's really just for them and the writers are left out in the wind,
yeah, then we're,
we know what that looks like because it was just revealed yesterday.
Yeah. Finally, Tyler, on this point, do you think, and if and when this happens, how long do you think that the studios can drag this out with both actors, writers out of the picture?
Well, with the news yesterday, it seems like they're willing to try to drag it out as long as possible. But if
they
and
sure
when
want
SAG
their AI,
strike, they
it's
do.
It's really
they,
all about that.
Yeah.
They seemingly really do want that. And I think that when they realize the pushback they're about to receive on this, and when they realize that these storytellers and these actors, if they can align themselves, like Eric said, and push into one force and really create this boundary with these studios that says, we're not going to do this unless you compensate us correctly, treat us fairly, et cetera. I don't know if the studios will just give in, though. Unfortunately, they're seeming like they don't want to, and that's what's kind of annoying and just ridiculous to me, is the fact that they are not able to sit down with these writers, and the fact that they're saying, we're not going to even try. Right. We're not even going to sit down with them. We're going to see how long we can get them to do this, until finally maybe we will sit down with them. And I bet by that point, if they even try, it'll just be terrible. But at least the first couple of negotiations they try are going to be lackluster, to say the least. So I think they will try to hold out as long as possible. And I think if they can figure out a way to do so, they will.
Well, hearing you guys talk, I'm not very positive that this won't take a long time. And we'll see what happens to so many people working in the industry and working for the industry who will be out of work. Everyone who caters and everyone who does jobs around without, you know, with this in place. But we'll see. But let's get into the Emmys, which will then be a long time until we can talk about again, apparently. But we had some exciting nominations today. And my idea is that I'm going to throw some things that happened in the nominations at you and get your guys' reactions to them. And then we'll do a couple of full categories after that. This is the leaderboard as it looked. Succession, 27 nominations. The Last of Us, 24. White Lotus, 23. Ted Lasso, 21. Those are the top four. Reactions to that, Eric?
I guess not a lot of surprise. I think that the only little bit of a surprise is The Last of Us doing quite so well, because it just absolutely cleaned up in the acting categories, and I think all without the benefit of even having a supporting actress. And they still got, I think, 9, which is wild. The White Lotus improving from last year's 20 nominations to 23. And again, absolutely obliterating. Also, no leads, all supporting. Almost the entire cast got in. Except for poor Beatrice Grano. I wish she had, because she's amazing. But I mean, literally, like, everyone else got in. Adam DeMarco also missed. That was too bad. But, you know, I can't be sad for the White Lotus actors, because 85 of them got in.
and the fact let's go ahead.
No, I know we're going to talk about it in a minute. Obviously, Succession did extremely well here with their actors. Again, like, virtually everyone got in, but it also made Emmy history by getting 3 lead actors in. That's never happened before in a comedy or drama series. So there's obviously more spots than there used to be. It's always been 3 to 5, but even with 6, that's still a really good record.
So those 3 were Brian Cox, Kieran Culkin, and Jeremy Strong. And a lot of people were not feeling the Brian Cox idea at all, the fact that he was not in that much of Succession this year. So how do you feel about that, Tyler?
I actually did think Brian Cox was going to make it in. So I'm very happy with how it came out today. In our last prediction podcast for Awards Watch, I did say I thought it was going to be kind of a tight fit to make 3 Succession boys in, and they all got in. I'm thrilled at this news. I think it is funny that he basically was in 2 episodes and then a dead body in another and still managed to make lead actor. But I am super thrilled at it. And I personally kind of hoped it would happen, but I did see what Eric saw, which was a lot of people thought, like, there's no way this is going to happen, because with Culkin and Strong's performances kind of setting the precedent for what Succession has, how was Cox going to get in only having those couple episodes? But it seems like the Television Academy really went for this final season. So for me, it wasn't too surprising, but I can see where people would be surprised about it at this point.
Yeah, I wasn't really surprised at all. I mean, no. I loved how petty it was for Cox to submit here. He couldn't go into guest because he did kind of make reappearances throughout the season. So he could have done supporting, and he definitely would have gotten in there. But this is like an extra level of petty that, I don't know, we kind of live for a little bit. But at the same time, it kept, like, you know, Diego Luna from getting in despite Andor getting tons of nominations, mm-hmm. writing, directing, series, all that. But, you know,
Brian Cox does not do supporting. I mean, that's just,
no, there is no way. I can't wait to see what he submits. I hope it is actually the episode where he's just laying on the floor of the plane and has no, like, dialogue, and you don't actually see him.
It would be the nice home chest video.
Compressions.
Exactly.
What about the extreme HBO dominance? What do you guys make of that?
I mean, not a shock.
I kind of figured going in that HBO, especially in drama, it was going to be Succession versus The White Lotus versus House of the Dragon versus The Last of Us. So I'm not too surprised. I am a little surprised, just like Eric said, that The Last of Us performed so well today. I mean, I was hopeful personally, but I did not think they would do it that much. I am a little surprised that House of the Dragon performed a little less well, But in terms of HBO, they're always going to be the juggernaut at the Emmys. I know a few years ago, Netflix like topped them for 1 or 2 years, but they proved again today that they have these kind of series. And I think they got 24 more nominations than the next streamer or network. I'm just really not that surprised by it, to be honest, because it's HBO.
Yeah, you guys were talking about actors before, because supporting actor in a drama series was also very interesting, because there was 8 nominees there, and only from Succession and White Lotus. And there we have a whole bunch of others, including Alexander Skarsgård, which was super fun. And I had actually predicted. But that's an interest. I mean, has that ever happened, that there's been nominees for only 2 shows?
Well, that's what happened with supporting actress last year, right? They got White Lotus got 5 of 7 in limited series. That's right. But I can't think of, if I go really far back, I think, oh my God, this is going to be my memory absolutely either betraying me or doing me a service. I think back in the 80s in supporting actor and drama series, Saint Elsewhere and one other show got like all of the spots.
Oh, really?
Maybe in LA Law. I can look it up right now, but
yeah, that's super interesting.
It's certainly, it kind of leads to something we talked about on the podcast, and what I think is a conversation that we're going to have pretty consistently now, and that's that the, yeah, I was right, 1983, Saint Elsewhere and Hill Street Blues had all the nominations. Actually, 2 years in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Okay, I knew I wasn't crazy. And those were 5 spots each those years. But I think what we're seeing now is, because there is so much television and some of it, you know, marketed and advertised really well, and others not so well, which I think we saw today with certain snubs, is that people are going to rely on a certain level of familiarity. And it didn't matter that all of the supporting actress nominees in drama series from White Lotus, except for Coolidge, hadn't been there before. It didn't matter. It was because they were in the White Lotus. And same goes for supporting actor. It's such an entity that it becomes kind of just an overwhelming name check. And I think we're going to see that pretty consistently, even though obviously Succession's gone. Ted Lasso in this iteration is gone. So we will have new versions of that. It'll be like The Bear. So it's
not a problem for me.
I think there's too much. Yeah, there's too much stuff. And that makes, you know, who has time to watch 100 shows in order to make, except for Tyler, to make these decisions, you're going to be narrowing things down to an astonishing degree.
Yeah, and there I want to mention something that was super fun, which I was kind of surprised for me that it made it, and that's Jury Duty. Yay, Tyler's happy about that.
I'm so excited. Go, Tyler. About this.
Me too. And both James Marsden and Best Comedy Series. That, for me, that was a bit of a surprise. I mean, I was hoping, but wasn't 100% sure. What was your reaction, Tyler?
I was so thrilled by this. To see it both in those categories, and it also, I'm pretty sure, made it into writing for a comedy series for Ineffective Assistance, which is written by one of the actors on the show, which I think is so fun. Jury Duty was one of my favorite comedies this year, and I kind of was on the fence whether I thought they would give it any kind of recognition, even though so many people seem to have watched it. But I'm really thrilled, because I think it ended up being such a fun watch, but in the end, for me, such a wholesome watch. I enjoyed watching it with other people, and we just had a really good time, and it was really sweet. So it's one of those shows when you're watching, you're like, wow, this is actually a comedy. So it's nice to see it in this category and these categories.
I loved it too. And
yeah,
on your,
I was elated for it.
And on your podcast, Eric, you really were not on the Harrison Ford train, and Harrison Ford likes to be on trains fighting on them. So, but you were right. This was a big snub, considering that Shrinking, you got a lot of great press for Shrinking, and also with the whole Dial of Destiny and Indiana Jones and all the interviews and the wonderful speech he gave at Cannes. Why did you not think this was going to happen?
Because, I mean, and you know, you'll look at the nominations overall this year, as they would be with any year. There are always a combination of big names that get in that sort of feel like they're only in because of their names, with that little bit of recognition. And then other times, like this year, it's an overinflated conversation. And that's what it felt like to me, that he showed up absolutely everywhere. In predictions everywhere, except for us. And I don't know. It felt like the exact kind of snub that the Emmys would do. And, you know, like Rian Johnson for Poker Face also was that kind of like, of course he's going to get in. It makes perfect sense. It's the kind of like, you know, writing or directing nomination that makes it in, but like the show doesn't make it in or something like that. And that didn't happen either. Mm-hmm. We got Jury Duty. We got the other two instead. And it's funny looking at a lot of these single nominations. I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but I think the Ford thing was a combination of wishful thinking. And he's never been a huge awards actor in his whole career. Right. That's just not, it just hasn't been a thing, even though he's regarded as a great actor. Awards has never been part of his journey, and it's still isn't.
Tyler, what were some of the biggest snubs for you?
Right off the top of my head, What We Do in the Shadows, not making it into comedy series nor writing. What We Do in the Shadows is something we've discussed on the Awards Watch podcast, something I've written about in my own writing, is a series that, surprisingly so, is able to usually garner multiple writing nominations. It is extremely surprising to me that it did not grab a writing nomination this year, because one of the co-writers of one of the episodes submitted is Ayo Edebiri. She did end up receiving, well, the other, like what we thought today, but Private School, the episode of What We Did in the Shadows, was not nominated, nor was Go Flip Yourself. So that was kind of surprising to me. The omission completely from comedy series is something that has not happened, I don't think, in its
entire
run.
Yeah, that's such
run.
A beloved Emmys. I mean, every year.
Yeah. So when they were announcing nominations, by the time they said Wednesday, I knew What We Do in the Shadows was not getting it. And I was pretty surprised about that. I will say my other big one that kind of caught me off guard was Emma D'Arcy not making it into Best Leading Actress for a Drama Series for House of the Dragon. They still managed to give a couple noms to that show, including Outstanding Drama Series. So I was pretty surprised to see them not show up amongst the nominees in that pool, to be honest with you. Thrilled that Keri Russell made an appearance, mm-hmm. but very, very, very surprised that she ended up being there instead of Emma D'Arcy.
I was really disappointed there was so little love for Somebody Somewhere, which I
always
think was such an incredible show.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that show up. Did it get any writing or anything?
It got nothing.
Completely shut out. That's
yeah. Yep. It got nothing.
Eric, any more snubs for you?
I mean, there are definitely a lot, and this is going to sound like a weird snub because it got 24 nominations, but The Last of Us got literally every possible technical nomination that it really could. Picture editing, sound editing, production design, costumes, special effects, all the acting nominations, writing, directing, and then missed cinematography.
Yes.
It just is one of those absolutely weird misses that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because why, when every single other factor gets in? It's not, it isn't like it missed three or four things and it's like a part of that. It was like the one thing that it missed. It was absolutely bizarre.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I was just going to say, if anyone follows me on the internet, they know how I feel about this episode. So watching Vulture's work not get nominated, I'm not one to get on any podcast or online and just trash talk another show, but it was appalling to me to see hour-long series Wednesday take out long time from The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. I could truly go on about this for the rest of the day. I'm not going to, but I do think Eric's right. It's crazy to me that basically everything they could have nominated that show for, they did, with the exception of the cinematography of its arguably biggest and most discussed episode.
Yeah,
and I just feel really bad for Bolter being the odd man out in that, and you know, not just because we've had conversations with him that are on the site, but just, you know, it's he can celebrate with everybody, but he doesn't get to celebrate with everybody. It just feels weird.
He's so great.
Perhaps if the work wasn't so fantastic as well, it wouldn't be such a glaring omission. But truly, the intimate framing of that episode is something that I talked to Vulture about, something I've talked to Eric about. It's crazy to me that this is the one thing they decided, no, we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. So I am very disappointed on his behalf.
Yeah,
completely. I agree. Anything else you want to mention there, Eric?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, there's, you know, Lisa Ann Walter would have been a great nomination. I'm kind of bummed that she didn't make it. Chris Perfetti, both from Abbott Elementary, you know, missing again is unfortunate. I'm like just getting my like snubs and surprises pieced together. And there's so much. Something that is very strange to me, and I feel like needs to be analyzed deeper, is the Emmy's response to Paramount Plus shows is kind of fascinating, because whether it's Yellowstone or 1923, these are extremely popular shows, but they're popular in the way, and maybe I'm just going to reveal my own answer to my question, they're popular in the way that CBS shows are, which have a demographic that are like, you know, 65 and over kind of people, get a lot of viewership. But like the 18 to 49 group just do not care mm-hmm. about shows like this. And that's still very fascinating to me. I think Picard got a couple of technical nominations. The canceled Grease show got a nomination. But I mean, this is another place Harrison Ford missed. Helen Mirren missed.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by Helen Mirren as well. I mean,
everyone from Yellowstone. And, you know, that's going to rile up people that don't give a shit about like Emmys and award shows, but they will when they're honky tonk show, you know, doesn't get in, and then say that they hate Middle America and all that, whatever, because that happens every year, especially with that show.
They'll claim they don't feel represented.
Absolutely. But at the same time, it is still strange and specific feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah
If Yellowstone or 1923 were films, they would kill at the Golden Globes.
For sure.
Sure. Anything else you want to mention?
I am only. I was just gonna say, Sophie Nalisse, we will avenge you. She will for Yellow Jacket.
Yes.
I am here for you. I see you. If there is only one Sophie Nalisse fan in this world, it is I. We will be here for you. But I'm excited that Sharon Horgan made it as well. So.
Ooh, to your Sharon point, Horgan. Though, Tyler, Yellow Jackets got pretty hardcore snubbed in general for its second season compared to the first. It only got 3 nominations, no writing, no directing. It's no supporting. They kind of turned on it. They turned on it pretty hard.
Second season wasn't as good, if you ask me.
I think there is a lot of sentiment to that. Yes. It certainly hasn't stopped the Emmys before. I think, you know, Ted Lasso's third season has not been that well received. And here we are 21 nominations later. Oh. But yay for Phil Dunster. I'm super happy about that.
King Phil Dunster.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
There's a few sort of historic things. Pedro Pascal and Jenna Ortega are the first Latinas to land lead acting Emmy noms in ages. Like, I think it was since 2008. Am I correct, Tyler?
I need to check that. That sounds great, though.
Yeah,
That would be for Ugly Betty, right?
I think so. Yeah, we can check that.
America Ferrera for Ugly Betty.
So that was exciting, and Pedro Pascal had 3 individual Emmy nominations. You wrote about, Eric. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of predictable, except for the narrator one. That sort of like snuck in there in like a really great way. I mean, the Last of Us and
SNL.
The guest spot on SNL, which I mean, he's winning. This is like one of the greatest guest spots on the show in decades. it's incredible. But yeah, the Patagonia narrator nomination is pretty great. It's a neat category too. Voiceover and narration categories are really cool, sneaky ways, I think, for a lot of actors to be able to start building their EGOTs.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a great nomination. I love it. I think it's super cool. Tyler mentioned Iota Berry, and I am super disappointed for her because she was on track to be able to make some Emmy history. But I mean, she missed for her guest spot on Abbott. And then obviously for both of her chances for What We Do in the Shadows, which was the bigger surprise. I mean, it's a really big surprise miss.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for Pedro Pascal. I think it would have been hilarious if he was able to get 2 lead nominations. That would have been quite a gag.
Yeah. Quinta Brunson also had 3, Tyler.
There is no conflicting feelings. I am another person I am in love with. When Quinta Brunson, this is just a quick side thing. When Quinta Brunson used to do her first videos, I worked in a movie theater when she had that movie theater video come out where the He Got Money video. We used to do that all the time. Like when customers would order a large popcorn, all you would hear is He Got Money. Seeing her now is so exciting to me. I love seeing these nominations for her. I think she's so deserving because not only is she somebody who she represents for her cast, she loves her actors, you can tell that, but she also loves the community she's representing, which is Philadelphia, obviously. And I personally think we should be giving Quinta Brunson an award every year just for being alive. So
just I'm for very the thrilled multi-talent about this. This is like a
absolutely. We should be giving her first look deals at every single studio. They should all be fighting over her. So this is very exciting to me, and I think it's very well deserved. I would love to see her be very competitive in the lead actress category since we don't have Jean Smart to contend with this year.
What do you think will happen there? I mean, who is she up against most?
I think it's pretty open.
I think so too. It's kind of, but, I mean, Rachel Brosnahan, previous winner. I just don't think, I think that's kind of like a legacy nomination. I don't think that that's something they're about to give her one final hurrah or anything like that. So I would be, I don't know. I think that she does have a little bit of a chance because she's not going against, like I said, Jean Smart. That's a big one. I feel like Christina Applegate, as much as I hate to say it, I do feel like a little bit of a sympathy nomination here, as well as performance, but a little bit there. Mm-hmm. Jenna Ortega, her youth might be against her. And then, of course, Natasha Lyonne's pretty beloved. So, but with these five women, it really could be up in the air. But I could actually very clearly see a path where Quinta Brunson could end up taking home this gold this year.
I feel like she's pretty easily the front runner right now from this group.
I think because, so too, but it, I think Jenna Ortega can sneak in there, considering
I don't how
popular.
Know.
You don't think so?
I think she's lucky to be here because age discrimination is a pretty big thing at the Emmys. It's really tough for younger actors to get in. This feels like Claire Danes getting in for My So-Called Life. I mean, it's hard.
It feels like almost like an achievement to give her that she has already been nominated for an Emmy, but maybe not quite ready to award her yet.
And I think if you look at the category in even, you know, the most cynical terms, Jenna Ortega is in, but her youth, it will work against her. Rachel Brosnahan, like Tyler said, this is a legacy nomination. A win would be bizarre. Christina Applegate, I love her very much, but this is a rare example of Emmy's empathy, which they don't usually show. But she's a previous nominee too. Mm-hmm. So for me, it would be between Natasha Lyonne and Quinta Brunson. Obviously, Abbott's done better. Poker Face did not do very well. No series, no writing, no directing. And I think it's between those two. And it will be interesting if Brunson can win because this style of show does not produce lead winners at all. Steve Carell never won. Amy Poehler never won. It doesn't really happen.
Well, it looks like it will now.
Yeah, I think I feel pretty comfortable in it right now.
Even the Modern Family cast, they were all in supporting for their mockumentary style. So they weren't competing in lead. So this would be quite something because, I mean, looking back, it's always one of the craziest things in the world to realize that Steve Carell never won an Emmy for The Office.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or for that matter, that nobody won an acting Emmy for The Office.
Yeah,
that's just crazy. We're going to get back because we talked a lot about drama and I want to talk more about comedy, but I want to go back to drama for one thing, because one of the categories on your show, Eric, you mentioned that lead women was one of the most difficult for you to predict the nominees for lead woman in drama. Did it turn out what you thought it would at the end?
No, it was, there was some really fantastic surprises, and that was Kerry Russell, and Sharon Horgan. I did not predict Bella Ramsey. I had Emma Darcy in, that's who I thought was going to. Obviously Sarah Snook and Melanie Lynskey for me were the locks. And then you kind of just worked your way down from there. I did have Elizabeth Moss getting in. So I ended up like 3 out of 6 here, which was not good.
No, Tyler, you did a bit better.
I think I did 4 out of 6. I was completely surprised by Sharon Horgan. As I kind of previously mentioned, I was delighted by it. And I think that maybe we should be giving Kerry Russell a nomination for not only her hair every year, but the fact that we never gave her that win for The Americans is mind-boggling to me. And so when I saw her name on the telecast this morning, I was pretty thrilled about it. But yeah, I was very surprised. I did not think they were going to do that.
Yeah, and that's the only nomination the show got. So that is on the strength of Russell, period, end of story.
Mm-hmm. I mean, her, I would I would love to sit down to know what conditioner she's using.
Me too.
Okay, but only sometimes, because sometimes her hair is ratchet mess.
The first 23 minutes of the pilot episode of The Diplomat had me in shambles trying to figure out what we could do to get her to the closest hairstylist and a brush.
I just wanted to help her so bad.
But then you can clearly tell she like gets a whole blowout. It's a whole thing, but she looks amazing.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
Hey, you guys had a lot of talks about wigs on the nominee show too. Did your favorite wigs get in?
To that point, yeah. House of the Dragon did not get in for its wigs. It got in makeup, but it did not for wigs.
I know Emma Darcy is so upset.
Yeah.
Kind of rude.
What about the actors wearing the wigs that you were discussing? For like
Elizabeth Olsen did not receive a nomination today. And I personally was fine with that and not actually too surprised. I didn't think they were going to go for that show. And not just because I have my own issues with it, but I didn't think they were going to. So I was kind of relieved to see that they really didn't.
Jesse Plemons was the only actor that got in for that show. That show got absolutely slaughtered.
Well, it
rest in peace, Christian Ritter's hair.
Yes. Rest in peace. But it feels like we had already just seen that show the year before.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. That's so weird. But Tyler, what did get in, I know you and I feel a bit the same about that, but that was the serial killer. That was Dahmer. Got in here and there. I know that is a tough watch for you. As for me, what did that get in with?
So unsurprisingly, I mean, Ryan Murphy shows, like, when his name is attached to something this big and it's something that was so widely viewed, you're going to see it get nominations, and it's really not too surprising. I think where my biggest problem is something that I've discussed with several people, which is I feel like this show created a lot of atmospheric empathy almost for the serial killer, which I don't really love. It, of course, got nominated. Evan Peters is here. Emmy winner, Evan Peters. I am excited to see Niecy Nesbitt here. I think that she's really great. Incredible. Yeah, and I think that I'd like to see her. I hope that this kind of recognition propels her towards other roles that are not more worthy of her, but less controversial, in shows that are going to bring less negative attention to her, where she can actually just flourish. But not too surprised with the acting nominations it received. I can't remember right off the top of my head. I know it. Did it get writing and directing? I think it got like two writing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me double check. To that point, I was extremely bullish on the show getting double supporting nominations, and it only got the two that were heavily, heavily predicted, Richard Jenkins and Niecy Nesbitt. I thought it was gonna end up a little more. But yeah, it got double directing nominations, so those predictions were accurate, but not writing. Same episodes, but yeah, I did feel like it was going to do a little more. It got 13 nominations, which
I thought it would do more.
Fine, but I thought it was going to do a whole lot more.
In terms of the limited category in general, Tyler, what did you think of the nominees there?
For the most
dark,
part, not too
dark bunch.
Yes. Yes. If you watch the limited series this year, you were not having fun. And if you were having fun, you are my kind of person. I'm mostly excited about Swarm's inclusion in these categories. I think that Dominique Fishback deserves the world for her performance. Oh, it is so unhinged, so great, so weird and violent. I was pretty surprised to see Lizzie Kaplan show up today for Fleischman is in Trouble. Not too surprised, because I did kind of think they might go for it, but I guess in terms of everyone else, I didn't think that she'd show up. But I am also excited to see Riley Keough show up for Daisy Jones and the Six. Beef and Blackbird kind of did exactly what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to be the bigger ones in this category, these categories. But I will say my biggest surprise was that the Television Academy apparently all sat down and texted each other to watch Welcome to Chippendales, and they all loved it. I did not know that before. So next year, I'm going to need to be in contact with these members so they can tell me what I need to be looking for, because that one really got me. Every
you need to
time
be on the chat
shows,
group.
Please, if there is a Slack channel for TV Academy members that are just discussing what they're watching and binging, I would like to know, because I had no clue people were watching Welcome to Chippendales in that manner. Thrilled to see Kumail Nanjiani get nominations, always. Oh, same with Murray Bartlett, but that
Bartlett,
one
yeah,
actually
Bartlett
shocked
there,
me.
The two places.
Yeah, I only so had Bartlett getting in for that too. Show. It was just also one of those weird things, because, you know, it got five nominations and four of them were for acting, but then, you know, no writing, directing, and not limited series. And Blackbird totally blanked on series writing and directing as well. But again, maybe there just were too many murders and serial killers, because that was the theme of limited series this year in a big, big way.
I will say I'm very excited. I think I said it was going to be my No Guts, No Glory prediction on the podcast, but I'm thrilled to have seen Merritt Weaver secure that nomination today for Tiny Beautiful Things. Queen Merritt Weaver. I've seen it circulating again. If you have never seen Merritt Weaver's Emmy acceptance speech, it is an all-time great. It's maybe 10 seconds long. Please go watch it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Go ahead.
I wanted to mention a couple of things. Like I had said, there are these really strange, just single nominations for shows that sort of feel like, okay, you watched it, but did you? That Elizabeth Moss nomination, the only one for Handmaid's Tale, a show that won series in its first season and multiple acting wins and nominations every year. One nomination this year. The other two, that single nomination in writing. The Great, one of the absolute best comedies on television. Yeah. One nomination for costumes. It's bizarre. It's crazy. But I can't let us go any further today without the Emmy response to The Crown, which even shocked me, because they were not here for it. Elizabeth Debicki got in, Imelda Staunton, nope, bye, nobody else, no writing, no directing. This is a show, again, that it's a winner. It just won all four acting categories 2 years ago. This is a seismic move and change.
This was not the Diana Charles story people wanted. There was so much expectation on how they were going to do this particular storyline of this family, and it just wasn't what people expected, I think.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Or Tyler, do you see it differently?
No, it was, I personally loved this season. I'm a big fan of The Crown, but I kind of knew going in it might not do as well. But to see the total, what was it, six nominations total, and a show that usually is at least close to, if not pushing 20. Peter Morgan has been nominated, if not won, every year for his writing for the show. They always receive directing nominations. They go crazy in the acting categories. Like, I mean, they even nominated Tobias Menzies for acting, and he showed up for almost less time than Claire Foy. But it's kind of crazy. This year, they, like Eric said, they said, no, thank you. We are not here for it. And it seems like they did that for a couple things. And it's, even though they nominated it for drama series, it, to me, that feels like a legacy nomination. It feels like they just let it in there. And That sucks for the crowd. I hope that they really pick it back up in season six, because a show that used to just collect accolades. I mean, to Eric's point, not even did it win those four acting categories. It swept drama that year. Mm-hmm. It took every major category, and now they're not even being represented in every major category. That's not
that
good.
That Slack group you want to get into, they're like, Harry, Meghan, no, we're not doing this.
They're pissed. They said, if you guys do not stop watching The Crown, but Welcome to Chippendales comes on the same month, just wait 2 weeks, get your Hulu subscription and turn it on, because we're not watching The Crown anymore.
Yeah. Atlanta only got one nomination too. That was also a high profile previous big time Emmy winner and just blanked on. I also want to mention that Survivor is back in the reality competition category for the first time since 2006. Incredible, with one of the best seasons that they've ever had. So deserved. Love that.
Let's go to comedy here.
That's good.
Yeah. Because we've done the other, I want to talk a little bit about what did you, Tyler, the comedy nominations for best series, were you surprised? Were you happy? You talked thrilled. About what we do in the shadows, but.
Mostly thrilled. There wasn't too much to surprise me. Wednesday's inclusion on this list was the biggest surprise to me personally. Everything else, Lasso, Only Murders, Mrs. Maisel, The Bear, Barry, Abbott, that seemed pretty locked in at all times. It didn't seem like any of those shows were not going to make it. As we've kind of already discussed, Jury Duty's inclusion is top tier to me. I think that's an incredible nomination. I'm so glad they went with it. I'm not angry about Wednesday. I'm just disappointed. I don't understand. That nomination came out and I was looking around my living room like, did I just make this up? But in terms of that, no, not too surprising. I would say Wednesday was my biggest surprise, but every other nomination I could kind of see coming a little bit for the most part.
I was so happy for Evan. I mean, I think he's going to take next year as well for The Bear. But
yeah, that's locked. That's a done deal.
Yeah. Next season, Emmys with The Bear is just going to be even more than this year, I'm sure. But that was a nice surprise. I think Eben Moss-Bachrach is amazing on that show.
Oh, Eben's Emmy is
not a surprise
already...
for me.
Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it was not a surprise that he got in here. I felt very good about him getting in here.
Tyler, did you want to say something to that?
All I was going to say was Eben's Emmy for season two is already in his living room, sitting right there in grave, ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And Absolutely. What about the meeting of the SNL guys, Sudeikis versus Bill Hader? Not unexpected, but how do you think that'll turn out?
Well, while they're fighting, Jeremy Allen White is going to take the stage and take that Emmy. So they can do whatever they want to do. But it is, in my opinion, it is Jeremy Allen White's Emmy to lose. I would be so surprised if anyone else even came close to taking this from him, with the sheer adoration of this performance, this show, and then them dropping the second season, which a great second season right in the middle of voting.
It's so just, smart. It's right top of mind.
They knew what they were doing. Big brain energy. He's going to win.
Yeah. I mean, I think I think he is as well, even though Sudeikis and Hader are previous winners. It's still super shocking that Martin Short missed out here for Jason Segel. I don't know how you split the Only Murders guys, but clearly you can.
Shrinking guys too, since Harrison didn't get in. I mean, it wasn't a split, but
yeah, but they did get supporting actress. But to that point, I mean, of these five, I think Martin Short should be the winner. And maybe without Martin, Steve Martin, there's a little bit more of a chance. Not that I believe in vote splitting in any way, but
are you sure?
Me, notoriously very pro vote splitting.
Somebody get on Eric, get on Twitter and at reply Eric and tell him that a vote was split and see what happens next.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'm sorry, but feral. I become absolutely feral.
Boatman gets a mouth. He jumps into my inbox telling me what's going to happen next. So y'all stop doing that and antagonizing him on Twitter. Stop doing
it. I'm telling you. But no, yeah, I think Jeremy Allen White should be able to repeat, you know, Globe and SAG wins. Although, you know, they're not always the same. The difference in, you know, eligibility periods and in direct competition, you know, SAG and Globe are not the same as the Emmys. We could see different situations. I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like he is the front runner pretty much.
I have a last question. I'm wondering, I mean, we started the year or even last year talking about Lord of the Rings with the $1 billion budget dubbed the most expensive television show ever made. What happened?
Money can't buy you everything.
Would it get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 nominations, all in technical categories? I mean, in categories that it definitely should have been in contention for. But yeah, House of the Dragon got in instead in the top category. And that is as much a legacy as anything else could possibly be. So I wouldn't have expected, honestly, any more than it got. It got exactly what it should have gotten. Maybe some production design. That missing is interesting. I'm sad that Interview with the Vampire got absolutely zero, because that was one of my favorites last year, and it should have gotten like 10.
Tyler.
Tyler's like very quiet right now.
Eric knows how I feel about this show. I didn't like it. So I'm personally fine with that, but you know, hot men go crazy. Exciting. I'm with it.
We need gay domestic violence representation.
I don't have anything to say to that.
Tyler's looking shocked, in case you're wondering.
Tearing up that New Orleans apartment. Good Lord. They were mad. I love that show so much.
Okay.
Tyler's face right now.
Yeah, Tyler's like speechless.
This is every day, though. Yeah. Every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, let's round things off. Is there anything else I've forgotten or missed that you guys want to mention?
Maybe not a big deal, but Dead Ringers only got a cinematography nomination. Yeah. Nothing for Rachel Weisz. That was pretty wild. But it's kind of neat too, because her show is Prime Video, which is also Swarm's show, and Fishback did get in, so that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But still a bit of a surprise.
Again, Obi-Wan, I think Kenobi. That's also to your point. That was so weird. Too much.
Mine just—I know we've mentioned one of her nominations. I would just like to say I'm very excited to see two-time Emmy nominee Melanie Lynskey this year for her work with Yellow Jackets and The Last of Us. Truly showing range and performance and giving us all what we truly need. She's always, always here for us. And I really appreciate that.
Well, guys, thank you so much. I will be a while until I see you in terms of Emmys, since the show will probably be half a year away, but I'll see you before then to talk about other things. First, tell our listeners where they can find you, Tyler.
You can find me on Twitter at Tyler M. Doster, and you can find all my work on awardswatch.com.
Eric, my listeners know where you are, but say it again.
Yes, definitely at awardswatch.com. And please sign up for the newsletter when and if you can. And you will get just lovely, concise, clickable versions of news stories on everything from predictions to awards, interviews, reviews, everything that we have. Twice a week, no spam. And yeah,
really do that. I completely agree. It's worth your while. Thank you guys so much, and see you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.